During Hilchot Shabbat, and this morning we are learning the Shulchan Aruch with Mishnah Berurah, Siman Shin Zayin, 307. We'll begin from the beginning. V'daber davar. The pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, "Im tashiv mishabbat raglecha, asot chofetzecha b'yom kodshi, v'krata l'shabbat oneg, l'kdosh Hashem mechubad, v'chibato, you'll honor Shabbos, me'asot rachecha, from going your own path, mimtzochevtzecha, from pursuing your own desires, v'daber davar, and speaking things. What things are we not allowed to talk about? Shlo yehi dibucha sheshabbat, kidibucha shechol." So Chazal said, this pasuk teaches us the way we speak on Shabbat should not be the same way we speak on weekdays. That's the Gemara in Gemara Tractate Shabbos. Hilkach, asur lomar davar ploni eseh lemachar. A person is not allowed to say, tomorrow I'm going to do such and such a thing. Oschora plonit ekne lemachar. Or I will purchase the following produce tomorrow. Tomorrow I will buy such and such. Okay, so what's the example when it says davar ploni eseh lemachar? Explains the Mishnah Brura. I'm allowed to say I'm going to go for a walk tomorrow. I'm allowed to say on Shabbat, well, on Sunday I'm going to learn. What does it mean I'm not supposed to say I'm going to do such and such tomorrow? V'davka imu davar shasun asoto b'Shabbat. Specifically, if it's something that I'm prohibited from doing on Shabbos, I'm not supposed to say tomorrow I'll cut down the street. V'afilu imu rak yisud rabbanan, even something that's only rabbinically prohibited, I'm not supposed to say on Shabbos I'm going to do that tomorrow. So on Shabbos, I'm not supposed to discuss doing things which are prohibited to do on Shabbat. Yesh katvu d'afilu dal mitzvah ki gon k'tivat sefer Torah v'chi agav na'asu lomar eseh lemachar. Someone to say that even describing a mitzvah I'm going to do tomorrow, if that mitzvah is asur to do on Shabbos, like writing a Sefer Torah, then you shouldn't say it on Shabbos, and others disagree. Nonetheless, the Chatchila says, the Mishnah Brura, if it's unnecessary, we would not discuss that on Shabbos. We would not discuss doing a mitzvah, which is an isur, on Shabbat. We wouldn't discuss it on Shabbat. What happens if you're worried that if you don't start discussing it now, you'll forget. You won't end up doing it. So then you're allowed to talk about it on Shabbat.
I'm afraid
Yeah.
Is that only in direct language?
We'll get there. It's going to be discussed. V'afilu b'sichat devarim betelim asur l'arbot. Just discussing things that are unnecessary, idle chatter, even though technically you're not describing anything prohibited on Shabbos, but still you're not supposed to spend your Shabbos talking idly, leharbot, having a lot of idle chatter, spending all of Shabbat afternoon just shooting the breeze. That's not the way our Shabbat is supposed to look. Haga, says the Ramah, what about people who enjoy Shabbos? They enjoy hearing all kinds of stories. You can sit there and spin tales, tell them stories from history, or tell them, hey, you know what they just invented, and that's going to make their Shabbos pleasurable. So they're allowed to tell them on Shabbos just like on a weekday. However, says the Mishnah Brura, don't waste your time with that to the point where you have no time left to learn Torah on Shabbos. A person's supposed to learn Torah on Shabbos. Shouldn't spend your whole day just hearing news and reading science articles and whatever. Even though a person enjoys it and he could say that that's part of his pleasure, that's within a degree, not to spend your whole Shabbat that way. But if you don't enjoy telling it over, you're not allowed to spend your day telling over things to make someone else happy on Shabbat. You have to make your Shabbat. Again, the point is daber davar. So if you enjoy, so you could tell over these things, this is a part of your Shabbat. But if you don't enjoy, this falls under the heading of idle chatter. So that was Halacha Aleph. We learned the concept. We're not supposed to be schmoozing on Shabbos the way we are on weekdays. If everyone could just put their phones on silent, that would be appreciated. We're moving on to Halacha Bet. Asur liskor poalim, velo lomar leino yudi liskor bo poalim b'Shabbat. So, under the same heading that I'm not supposed to talk on Shabbat about things which I wouldn't do on Shabbat, so I'm not supposed to hire workers on Shabbat as well. Anything I'm not allowed to do, because the Torah or Drabanan, it's prohibited, I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for me. I'm not allowed to hire workers on Shabbat. I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to hire workers for me on Shabbat. Even to tell a non-Jew, could you hire workers for me tomorrow on Sunday? I'm not allowed to tell him on Shabbat. Even though technically you don't need the work done till after Shabbat, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. Shekol mashu asul asuto b'Shabbat, anything I am prohibited to do on Shabbat, asul omar leino yudi lasuto, I'm not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it. And this we did discuss, the idea that asking a non-Jew to do things on Shabbat is prohibited for a few reasons, one of which is I'm not supposed to say these things on Shabbat. Meaning there's the concept that I'm not supposed to tell a non-Jew to do work for me, Amiral Nochi Shvut. There's also the concept that just saying the words, and these are two components of dealing with a non-Jew on Shabbat. One is, I'm not supposed to say this on Shabbat. And that's why when I'm allowed to have the benefit from the non-Jew, for example, when it's cold in the house, the electricity fell and it's a freezing day, and people could get sick, so you're allowed to indicate to the non-Jew you'd like him to turn on the heat. However, you could still accomplish not saying on Shabbat, can you please turn on the heat? There are two components. One is, I'm not supposed to get the non-Jew to do work for me on Shabbos. Two is, I'm not supposed to say on Shabbat, can you do something for me, where that task is actually prohibited on Shabbat. V'afilu lomar lo kodem haShabbat na'asoto b'Shabbat asur. You're not even allowed to tell the non-Jew before Shabbat, I'd like you to do this work for me on Shabbat. That's the other prohibition. אבל מותר לומר לו אחר שבת, למה לא עשית דבר פלוני בשבת שעבר, אבל פי שמבין מתוך דבר שרצונו שישנו שבת הבאה. Okay, there are instances where you can tell the non-Jew, why didn't you do such and such on Shabbos? And then he'll understand that next week he was supposed to do that on Shabbos. Now, the only time I can do that is when I won't derive benefit on Shabbat from that task. There was once a shul where they wanted the non-Jew to turn on the lights for the davening and then turn off the lights when they finished davening. And they wanted a non-Jew to do that for them. So they thought they could do this, what it says here in the Shulchan Aruch. They'll tell him after Shabbat, hey, why didn't you turn on the lights at 8 o'clock when you know davening starts at 8:30? And why didn't you turn them off at 11 o'clock when you know davening ends at 10:30? So that accomplishes that you didn't tell him directly, the Be'er Davar, but it's still Amiran Nochri. It's still the rabbinic prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do work on your behalf on Shabbat. We said there are two components. There's the way I talk. So in that sense, I didn't say anything prohibited. I didn't directly tell him to do things on Shabbat. But there's still the prohibition. I'm not supposed to have a non-Jew do work for me on Shabbat. When the Mechaber, when the Shulchan Aruch tells me, I'm allowed to tell the non-Jew, hey, why didn't you do this past Shabbat? What the Mechaber is saying is, in instances where I don't run into the problem of Amiran Lenochri, in instances where I'm not transgressing the rabbinic prohibition of telling a non-Jew to do work on Shabbos, then I may indicate to him after Shabbat, hey, why didn't you do that? Because I didn't overtly tell him to do it.
What if it's a case where you're not inclining or indicating a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbat, but he's already in the habit of doing work, such and such work for you every day? So say someone is handicapped and they use they live in a house that in order to get up and down the stairs they have to use an electric extension of a staircase. The non-Jew knows that his role is to operate it on Shabbat. He's not being asked to. He just knows that if his if the Jew who's in charge of him
is benefiting,
Why is it benefiting you? Doesn't it have to benefit you?
So, like,
I'm going to skip the halacha hey. Okay? Even though this is not the halachas I wanted us to learn this morning, we're going into the whole idea of I'm not supposed to have a non-Jew do work for me on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to make it clear to him that I want him to do this on Shabbos. But we'll do halacha hey. Davar she'inom lacha ve'ino asur asoto b'shabbat ele mishum shvot. Something which is only prohibited rabbinically. Okay? So, the Gemara describes the following scenario. They had to do circumcision. And they couldn't do the circumcision because they needed, I think the case was either they needed to bring the hot water through a Carmelis or they needed to bring the knife through a Carmelis. So, they said we could do it by asking a non-Jew. Why? Because we have the mitzvah of a circumcision. Asking a non-Jew to do work on Shabbos is rabbinic. And here the prohibition of carrying the knife or the baby, I don't remember what the case was, is also rabbinic.
Because it's through the Carmelite.
Because it's through the Carmelite. Because it's not through public domain. And so we learn from there, shvut de shvut, a rabbinic, meaning the whole idea of asking a non-Jew is rabbinic, and the whole idea of carrying there is rabbinic, so it's a double rabbinic. Shvut to shvut. Bimkom mitzvah, in an instance where I'm doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, mutar. So Tosfos has two opinions how we interpret that Gemara. One opinion in Tosfos is, that's only for a huge mitzvah like a brit milah. You can't say that for any mitzvah. Shvut to shvut and kom mitzvah. The other opinion says you can do it for any mitzvah. The case in the Gemara was a circumcision. So those two opinions are reflected now in the Shulchan Aruch. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is describing. If it's not a task that's biblically prohibited, it's not a menacha. What we have over here is something that's prohibited because of a shvut. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Mutar li Yisrael lomar leino yudi lasoto b'shabbat. A Jew can ask a non-Jew to do it on Shabbat. I'm going to be allowed to do it, being that it's a rabbinic prohibition of a rabbinic prohibition. There has to be either someone who's a little bit ill, so certainly your case of the guy who's in a wheelchair, right? He has to be a little bit ill. Now, the reason he has to be a little bit ill is because if he's very ill, then I'm allowed to do even one rabbinic prohibition, right? We said when there's sakanat evar. So then we ask a non-Jew to do the doraita to help the person. Without pikuach nefesh. So here, I'll read Mishnah Berurah. The lubecholi mamasha kolel kol aguf v'shir po sakanat evar. If the person were really ill, there was a danger of a limb, so then we definitely ask a non-Jew to do a rabbinic isud doraita, which becomes rabbinic because the non-Jew is doing it, or you even ask a Jew, according to one opinion, to do a rabbinic prohibition to save a limb or to help someone who's ill to the point that it affects his whole body. So isurim derabanan, that's where there are instances where a Jew, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that anytime any electric you're using that doesn't involve an incandescent bulb is only rabbinic. So then there will be instances that, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we don't go this way. But you'd be allowed to turn on a fan and turn off a fan for a sick person. If a person is in a hospital bed, they're very sick, and that'll make them feel better. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that anything that doesn't involve an incandescent bulb is rabbinic. So then going with this opinion, that it's only one shvut, it's a rabbinic prohibition, for the sake of someone who is very ill or in danger of losing a limb, I'm allowed to do that. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch over here says, shvut to shvut, a rabbinic prohibition. I'm asking a non-Jew, that's rabbinic, to do a task which is in its essence rabbinic. So that, according to the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch, Bimkom Mitzvah, that would be permissible. However, warns the Mishnah Berurah, I want you to know that you cannot compare different halachos when it comes to rabbinic prohibition, and you could only permit what our sages permitted. You see that our sages were very careful. They said with regards to circumcision, you cannot ask a non-Jew to do a biblical prohibition. right? They said you need two rabbinics. You can't do a rabbinic prohibition of asking a non-Jew to do something biblical, right? It has to be a double rabbinic. The non-Jew doing a rabbinic prohibition. The flip side is that in order to purchase a house in Eretz Yisrael, Chazal said, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to get the contract done for you on Shabbat. In order to purchase a house in Eretz Yisrael, there Chazal said, one rabbinic prohibition is enough to make it permissible. So the Mishnah Berurah says you have to work with the guidelines of Chazal, because we see they weren't the same across the board. So each time we check what did Chazal tell us. So coming back to our halacha, if a person needs to do something which is not biblically prohibited, it's rabbinically prohibited, and he's going to ask a non-Jew to do it, which makes it a double rabbinic prohibition. The non-Jew, rabbinic, is doing a rabbinic prohibition. So then, for the need of miktzat choli, if the person is a little bit ill, or it's very necessary, because there's going to be a huge loss if you don't do it. We're going to see later on examples of that. Or for the sake of a mitzvah, you can ask the non-Jew. Ketzat, how so? Omer Yisrael eino Yehudi b'Shabbat l'alon b'ilan l'avi shofar l'tkuat k'yat mitzvah. If we need to climb a tree, which is a rabbinic prohibition, our kid went up to the treehouse and put his shofar, our shofar, up there. Comes Rosh Hashanah, and we don't have the shofar. Rosh Hashanah, it's up in the tree. So we ask a non-Jew, do you mind climbing up and bringing down the shofar? Climbing the tree is rabbinic. Having the non-Jew climb the tree is a rabbinic form of a rabbinic. So we can ask him, Shavut to Shavut, binko mitzvah, for the mitzvah of blowing shofar. Ola vimayim derech hatzer shlo yavu li chotzba mitzter. Or if our case of the baby who is suffering from the circumcision, and we want to alleviate his pain with a warm bath, so then we can ask a non-Jew to bring the water through a carmelist, which is a rabbinic prohibition, and ask the non-Jew to bring it to help the baby.
What is
carmelist? Thursday night. Carmelist is something which is not private domain, but it's not yet public. It's in the middle. More accurate than that, look at the Gemara Shabbos Dafav, which is a Tosefta in the beginning of Shabbos. Yeah.
The question on the technicalities of Shvut to Shvut.
The sea is a carmelist. The desert is a carmelist. Okay? Australians need to know. Yeah?
The question on the technicalities of Shvut to Shvut.
I'm serious. That's your big question there, with surfing on Shabbos, right? Yeah?
There's something that's not quite sitting. The concept of Shvut to Shvut is saying that because of the double rabbinic, I wouldn't want to call it violation, but you know but that's what makes it mutar if there's a need. But if there's a violation of two rabbinic prohibitions in order to do this mutar thing, why not just do it directly, and you're only violating one? I understand the concept of asking a non-Jew in order to do something, but are there other examples of Shvut to Shvut that don't involve a non-Jew that would be preferable to just do directly because one prohibition is less than two?
I think the way to view it is not that we're transgressing two rabbinic prohibitions, but rather when Chazal forbade asking a non-Jew to do tasks, so they forbade asking a non-Jew to do tasks that were biblical, that were melachot. And when it comes to things that they themselves prohibited, shvut, carrying through a carmelist, so there they said, we will only prohibit doing the task through a non-Jew when it's not necessary, like for a sick person or a great need, etc. I think that's the idea behind it. But, okay, we're moving on to Halacha Vav, which is really what we came here for. Asu lechashev cheshbonot afilu im avru. A person is not allowed to spend his Shabbos doing financial calculations. How much have I paid off the mortgage on this house? How much am I paying my kids' tuition? Maybe I should make aliyah because there I don't pay tuition. How much do we pay in medical insurance here in America? Maybe we should make aliyah because in Israel, medical insurance is a joke. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos to start figuring out your calculations of how much you paid.
To think this is how much I spent on such and such. Now, that's only when you keep thinking how much I'm still left to pay, right? That's Dabir Davar. I'm going to start talking about, I paid off X amount of my mortgage, which is another way of saying, here's what I have left off to pay. What happens if you already paid off the house, and now you're trying to figure out, how much did I pay because I took a mortgage? How much extra did I pay? But it's a done deal. It's history. So that's called cheshbonot shel mabekach. That's a calculation. It's irrelevant. It doesn't affect anything that's happening now. And that's permissible. But what happens if your neighbor comes and asks you, should I take a mortgage? Does it pay? Or should I just save up and then buy a house? So you tell him, 1 second, let's figure out. How much did I pay? I took a mortgage. And I ended up paying such and such an interest. There, your calculations of the past are relevant to a present deal. And that would again be prohibited. The idea that historical calculations of historical monetary calculations are mutar on Shabbos, that's because they're irrelevant now. I'm just trying to figure out historically, how much did I pay because I took a mortgage to buy this house? How much did I end up paying in interest on this car by paying it in installments? If it's history, if I already paid it all, I'm allowed to discuss it on Shabbos. But if it's relevant now, if it's relevant because we're trying to decide whether to take a second mortgage or for whatever reason, then again it's prohibited. If you paid it off, it's permissible. Again, as we said, something that's irrelevant to now is permissible to calculate. Okay.
What if it's just hypothetical? Meaning it's not a past calculation. It's just but it's not a relevant or current calculation. It's just a hypothetical calculation. Out of curiosity, if I were to take a mortgage, how much would I pay? But I don't intend in any, realistic stretch of the imagination in the near future of taking a mortgage.
Right. So that's again sicha betina. That's cheshmonot shel mabekach. Falls under the heading of I'm not supposed to waste my time on Shabbos, but it's not prohibited because of sicha of daber davar. Okay, you're allowed to. This is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they're going to get there soon. He quotes it here from Shabbos. If I remember correctly, it's also a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Mutal lomar lachavero. Person's allowed to tell his friend, "Ani rav einecha shetuchal lamod imi le'erev." Do you think you can make it tonight? Even though he understands from that tonight you need him and you might hire him for work. You didn't overtly tell him you're going to hire him. He understands. Every time he comes, you pay him for his time. And you're asking him, are you available tonight? But you didn't say anything about work. What you cannot say is, be prepared tonight. Then you're making a clear indication you're hiring him on Shabbat, and that's not permissible. So in the first case, I didn't overtly say it. In the second case, I did. Halachachet. Yachol omar l'chavro l'chach ploni, ani olech machach. A person's allowed to say, I'm going to such and such a city tomorrow. He's even allowed to tell him, can you come with me tomorrow to such and such a city? Being that city is accessible today. Meaning, I'm not allowed to tell him I'm going to the United States tomorrow, because that's something which I can't do on Shabbat. But if I'm going to tell him I'm going to Arnof tomorrow, do you want to come with me to Arnof tomorrow? Even though he and I both understand that tomorrow we're going to go by car, being that technically I could go by foot today, I did not discuss anything that's prohibitive. I said I'm going there. I said, do you want to come with me there? And I didn't discuss what's prohibited about it. Maybe we're going to walk. Just a second. וכן כל כך יוצא בזה שיש בו צדדר לעשותו היום. Anything that technically you could do today, יכול לומר לך וכל שיעשינו מחר. You could discuss with your friend doing it tomorrow, even though we both understand that tomorrow we'll do it in a way that's prohibited to do today. But I didn't say that. Maybe we were going to walk. You want to come with me to Tel Aviv? Well, I don't know if from here to Tel Aviv you leave the Tchum Shabbos. I don't know if there are buildings all along the way or you run into a problem of Tchum Shabbos. But assuming it was not a problem of Tchum Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to discuss it. Because I didn't say we were going to drive there. Maybe we're going to walk there. Assuming it's permissible on Shabbat.
How is it different from the case of the worker? Saying working is not so permitted.
The case of the worker, what can I tell him? I can tell him, do you think you'll be able to make it tonight? But I'm not supposed to tell him, be prepared for tonight.
That's a non-Jew?
No, even a Jew.
Oh, I see, doing work that's permitted on Shabbat.
I didn't discuss the work. I asked him, are you available tonight? What you cannot do is tell him you want to hire him to drive you there tonight. Or to walk with you there tonight. But something that there's no way you could do it in a manner that's permissible, even if the prohibition is rabbinic, you're not allowed to discuss with him. If it's outside the tchum, you're not allowed to tell him, could you pick that up for me? Because right now there's no permissible way to do it. You're also not allowed to go and wait at the end of the tchum so that when it becomes Matzei Shabbos, you'll be ready to go. Right? This is one of the challenges that people have when they fly on Matzei Shabbos. That's very tempting to be ready to pack or have everything, start doing things on Shabbat, which are really preparatory for their flight. You're not supposed to do that on Shabbat. V'chein lo yomar e'eseh davar ploni lemachar. A person shouldn't say, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. When we know that thing is not something that I could do in a permissible way today, such as walking out of the tomb. Okay, so if what the person wants to do is to go watch his fruit, but not collect them, if those fruit are muktza, so I'm not allowed to wait at the end of the tchum to go collect them. But if they're not muktza, all I want to do is see them. On Shabbat, technically, I could walk over there and sit next to them. I can't walk because it's beyond the tchum. So then I'd be allowed to sit at the edge of the tchum to get there. Meaning if I'm preparing to do something which technically I'd be allowed to do on Shabbat, that I'm allowed to do. If I'm preparing to do something which I'm not allowed to do on Shabbat, that I'm not allowed to do. If the fruits are muktzah, a person has fruits, he gets word that in the storm today, his fruits fell off the tree. And he'd like to go collect them. They're muktzah on Shabbos. So he's not allowed to go Shabbos afternoon to wait at the edge of the tchum so that right after Shabbos he can go collect them. Because he's preparing to do a task which he's not allowed to do on Shabbos, collect them. But if all he wants to do is watch them, that no one else should touch them, technically he's allowed to sit there and watch them on Shabbat. I'm allowed to stand next to my field on Shabbat. I didn't do anything that's obviously prohibited. So then he's allowed to go to the edge of the tchum Shabbos afternoon to wait there to go and sit next to his fruits after Shabbat. Because he's preparing to do a task which is not prohibited on Shabbat. To sit next to fruits is permissible on Shabbat.
Right.
Because Chazal didn't want us to do something that's recognizable. They didn't want us to do something that people see that you're waiting at the edge just to go and do what's prohibited on Shabbat.
So you're saying that it's dependent on the way it's viewed by the public or by the people as opposed to what your intention is, because cognitive dissonance can cause us to believe anything with regards to our intention when it may or may not be totally accurate.
Would there also be something to say that if you were to go and say that you're going to stand at the tchum to wait to watch your fruit, that once you get to the fruit you have to wait, and then if you wanted to pick up the fruit as well, You would have to wait the time that it would have taken to get there without waiting.
I don't know if over here Chazal would be gozer what's called b'chdei sheyasu. I don't know. A person wants to borrow something from his friend. He shouldn't say halveini. Halveini means you're giving me a loan. I will spend it and then I'll pay you back. Don't use that term because that's something which people would write down. But if you say hashileini, can I borrow it? Which is a term we use when I borrow a pencil or a pen short term. That's okay. What happens if someone needs something from you on Shabbat and you don't trust them? You have a neighbor, they always borrow things, they never give them back. They come to you on Shabbat, they want to borrow a bunch of chairs, they have guests. You're concerned you're never going to get the chairs back. So you're allowed to take collateral. You're allowed to say, you guys can take our chairs, no problem. I just want you to give us your, I don't know, what would you take as collateral? Your what? It's Shabbos, so you can't take a microwave. What would you take as collateral? You'd say, give me your hat and jacket. When you bring back the chairs, you'll get back your hat and jacket. But you shouldn't say on Shabbos, here's the collateral. That's like talking weekday. You're not supposed to give back things that you loaned. Meaning, again, here the loan is something you spent. So we're accustomed to thinking of loans as money. It's not only money. You borrow a bag of sugar, that's a loan. That's not, you didn't borrow. You, the term hashala is when I borrow your chair and I give back the chair. But halva'ah is I took a loan of a bag of sugar. I used that bag of sugar. I'll give you a different bag of sugar back. That's halva'ah. The concept in Talmud is called milveh lotzah nitna. Something you took as a loan, you were supposed to spend and give back the equivalent. So you're not supposed to pay back a loan on Shabbos. If you borrowed a bag of sugar from your neighbor, you're not supposed to give him back a bag of sugar on Shabbat. So we're in the middle of this halachot. Very relevant. We have to pick up here next week. We did not yet get to your question, but Be'ezrat Hashem next week we'll get to that as well. We'll get to Be'ezrat Hashem.